I wanted to, that's the one thing, I'm used to the headset mic, so I might be just putting it down somewhere and talking, but I did want to say too, I noticed, Terry, that you on Total Change, that people can give money to, for relief. Yeah, for both places. So if you can't go with him, but you want to help and maybe even just help him get there, and give so that Terry can go and minister there, I just think that's a wonderful opportunity, and, Terry's ministry is trying to help out there, which is just a wonderful, wonderful God-ordained thing. Amen? So it's a big, big thing going on. We need to be praying about that. Well, let's open our hearts right now just to pray and for God's word and to learn about prayer this morning. So, Father, I just ask you to come and be with me right now. I do pray for healing, for just... Lord, that I would feel your strength. I feel it now, even now. I feel like the prayers of all the people for the last couple of days for me, and also just even today, the worship, Lord, I felt your strength filling me at that moment. And so I just pray you continue to be with me as I speak, and I pray that you would open all of our ears to hear today, and not just to hear, but to put it into action, Lord. I pray that prayer would become something that we love in this church that is just saturating our church all the time. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. So, this morning is week 3 of our series called God's Vision or Desire for Us. A couple of weeks ago, I talked about worship and about, how we as a leadership team had talked about and prayed about what we believed was God's preferred future for us as a church. Do you remember when I asked all of you to sort of stop for a moment and just think about if in 5 years you would be in a church that was just like the most amazing church that you've ever been in, what would that look like? You know, they've been here. Well, thank you. But I'm just saying too, like, okay, where does God want us to be 5 years? What does he want us to look like in 5 years? And I think that, you know, that's what we're looking at. God, what do you want us to look like? It's not just what we want to look like. It's not just our desire, but it's God's vision or God's desire for us as a church. And I talked about worship that first week and what we felt like God was saying our worship could be like. And I feel like this morning we touched that, don't you? That we felt like, you know, we are experiencing the Father in the midst of our worship. God does, in a sense, come, and he's enthroned in our praises. We don't conjure God. God's always here. Okay? We got to be careful. We're not like, you know, summoning God through our praises. But there's a promise. The heart of the Father is to be with us. And somehow when we worship him and we glorify him and we praise him, then he comes. His manifest presence comes. And I believe he just begins to do things in our midst. He'll begin to heal people. He'll begin to speak to people. And it's just a wonderful encounter with the living God. Some people... right? Some churches, the worship time sort of sets up the sermon. For us, that's not what we want. And what I want to happen to you, remember I'm sick, so just be nice to me. What I want to happen to you when you come here is I want you to encounter God more than anything else. You know, that's what's going to make church awesome, not just a good message or even well done worship. It's about encountering the living God. Amen? Amen? So that's what we wanted. And then last week, Gloria spoke about, I think, outreach and about caring for one another. What does that look like as a church? What could it look like as a church? And this morning, I'm going to talk about prayer, about God's desire for prayer for our church. We created this document which is sort of our preferred future, what we believe God is wanting us to look like. And that's what we're talking about over the next few weeks, okay? So, let's look at the first slide, which is God's desire for us in prayer. This is what we felt God was saying to us. There's more in the document that you can read if you want to, but this is sort of the heart of it. It's God's desire for us to be a genuinely praying church, where prayer is not an afterthought, but our first thought, for thanksgiving, for help and healing, for direction and planning, for every aspect of our church life. That's what God wants prayer to be like in our church. Now, I think that most churches, if you ask them, would say that they want to be praying churches. However, I've been pastoring now, Nancy and I, for over 19 years. And what I know is saying that you want to be a praying church and becoming a genuine praying church are two very different things. Okay? I don't know if you remember, but Debbie Calvert, she did a prayer training last year, and she did a survey in that training of the people in our church asking how much do people pray in a day. And generally what I'll say, without pointing at any fingers, even at myself, the results were that people pray very little in a day. That busyness and distractions and not making it a priority have choked significant prayer out of their lives. Most people in our church pray less than 10 minutes a day. And I think God wants to change that. And it's not because God is a taskmaster demanding that you put your time in prayer so that he'll do what you want him to do. But it's because God is the source for all of our provision. And he wants us to come to him. He wants us to have relationship with him. And relationship is all about communication. He wants to talk with us, and he wants us to talk to him. He wants us to listen, and he will listen to the very deep hurts and desires of your heart. And he wants us to see his faithfulness, church. When your prayers are answered, prayer must become a default reaction within our lives and within our church for all of the circumstances, good or bad, that happen in our life. Can I hear amen for that? Now let's read in 1 Thessalonians 5:16-21. This is the Apostle Paul, and he's writing a letter. He's been encountered by God in a significant way, and he is now ministering to, and he actually is planting these churches all over the place. And this is a letter to one of the churches in Thessalonica that he planted, and he's writing them this note. And he says this to them, be joyful always. Now, say this with me. Pray continually, which in other translations means without ceasing. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecy with contempt. Test everything and hold on to the good. And then in another letter he wrote to the Ephesians church, 6:18, he says this, and it just backs it up. And pray in the Spirit on all occasions with all kinds of prayers and requests. With this in mind, be alert and always keep on praying for all the saints. This, I think, is what it means to be a praying church. Joyful. Thanksgiving. You know, we pray in all things. We remember to thank God when things are going well. How many of us know that when things are going well, we start to forget about God? We only kind of go to God when things are going badly. How many can say that kind of happens to me sometimes? You know, we're motivated when things are going bad, but how many of us will thank God for the good things that he's doing? You know, Jesus said, thank him, thank him. He was constantly thanking his Father, and that's the first place we come to. That's where we need to start in our prayer. You know, what does it say in the scripture? Enter his courts with thanksgiving in your heart. Amen? And that's a prayer. That's prayer. Joyfully giving him thanks for all the good things in your life. And prayer is, in a sense, it never stops. What does it mean to pray without ceasing? Does that mean we're supposed to go in our prayer closets and quit our jobs and never come out and pray and pray and pray all day long? No, that's not what it means. What it means, though, I think, is that we are in a conscious connection with God all day. We talk to him sort of in and out all day. Now, it's about the things that we're, the decisions that we're making, the choices that are set before us. You, in a sense, are testing things by God all the time. What do you want me to do? How do you want me to react to this, Lord? And you've always in communication with God. That's what I think it means to pray without ceasing. When temptations come before you, you are able to turn away from those temptations because you're in this communication and constant connection with the Father. And the Father's able to say, you know, this is no good. Get away from that. You have strength from the Father, so you can turn away from it. The Spirit convicts and challenges you throughout the day. You're there at the supermarket and the lady gives you way too much change, gives you a $20 bill instead of a $5 bill. And what are you going to do at that moment? Are you going to give the $20 bill back, or are you going to say, yay, praise God, more provision in my life? No. Praying without ceasing means that in that moment the Spirit comes and he convicts you and you know this is the right thing to do and you give it back to them. Little things like that. But you flow in and out of prayer, praying in the Spirit. There are moments in the day then where suddenly you might just feel like I need to pray in the Spirit. I need to pray in tongues. I need to pray for somebody at any moment. You don't know where what's going on, but suddenly it just drops on you. Pray for this person. Lift them up. They need your prayers right now. You have words of knowledge and wisdom from God that flow in your interactions with the world around you. You're a person that is connected to God in such a way that even with the unsaved people, this is important, church, because we'll do this in church, but we don't like to do it out there very often. But we will actually get a word of knowledge for somebody that's not a Christian. You know that that's really the purpose of it? That's what Jesus says. The reason that I give you the gift of the Spirit, often in words of knowledge, Paul talks about prophecy, is that it convicts the unbeliever. It shows the unbeliever that God is real. If you're able to suddenly read somebody's mail that's going through a difficult time and God shows you that, then suddenly they're like, wow. How did you know any of that? And this is what it means to pray continually, is that you're in connection with the Father in such a way that when you're interacting in the world around you, you're able to, from time to time, get a word of knowledge for somebody or pray for them and so on. And this is what I think God is calling our church to be like. Now, I believe, for instance, that we need set, undisturbed times of prayer with God, meeting times, our sweet hour of prayer in the morning or the evening. How many of you have seen the movie The War Room? And how many of you like The War Room? Yeah, I liked it too. I thought it was fantastic. And it's important to have those times where you have a set time in your day where you make sure that you're connecting with God. But those set times are supposed to flow then from that set time into this continuous connection that I'm talking about. And then that continuous connection, in a sense, governs our lives. We do not put out the Spirit's fire. We expect and move in the prophetic. We have learned to discern properly, testing everything with God's Word so that we are always worshiping, in a sense, in the Spirit and truth. Spirit and truth. Amen? So this is God's desire for us in prayer. So prayer is more than just the, which is important, but you know how sometimes we'll pray and we'll be in a circle and we'll be praying for people that we know. We have a list. Maybe you know, sometimes get a list with God. My aunt, you know, Frida, Uncle Fred, my wife, I need to pray about her. I need to pray about my finances. I need to pray. And those are good. Those are not bad things to pray for. But somehow we've got to go, we keep doing those things, but we move beyond those things. Do you understand what I'm talking about? Where suddenly we're praying the will of God. We're praying for the will of God on a big scale. We're also moving in the Spirit. So prayer is about healing. It can be about words of knowledge, prophecy. All of that stuff is communication with God. It's God talking to us, us talking to God. And we want to move through that. Now, many churches can't talk about prayer without mentioning the Lord's Prayer. So I want us to look at that for a minute. Matthew 6, 9 to 14. And let's read it together, because this is a good thing for us to do. We hardly ever actually quote the Lord's Prayer in our church, which is probably a bad thing. But let's do it together right now. Jesus said, "This then is how you should pray. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one." Now, just before Jesus teaches them this prayer, he tells them specifically to not pray repetitious prayers the way the pagans do. So one of the things that I will say about this prayer is that we're not meant to, Jesus did not intend for the church to pray only this prayer over and over. It's okay to pray it. I think it's a good thing to pray it as it's in the text, but it's not really, that's not the full intent of it. I think that this prayer is like a template. And so in it, we see this prayer should include praise. That's why I don't have the headset on right now. You would have heard that cough. Okay. So here's what I think. Hallowed be your name. So we are praising God. We enter into his courts with thanksgiving in our heart. Then we need to pray for what God's will is, about his kingdom coming, his will be done. Prayer is about praying his will to come into our world around us. Then we pray, and we can pray for our needs, yes, our daily bread, but also about our spiritual needs, about forgiveness, and about our ability to forgive others. And then we pray for deliverance. We pray, as Terry did here, for the deliverance from the plans of the evil one for us. So Terry was praying about that today for the people in Antigua. Is that what it is? Yeah. So this is, I think that when we look at this prayer, we see a model of what Jesus is telling us to pray for. But what I also want you to realize this morning when you look at this is everything that Jesus tells his disciples to pray for in this prayer, Jesus himself will accomplish. Jesus glorifies the Father on the cross. Jesus brings the kingdom and perfectly fulfills the will of the Father. Jesus is our daily bread. Amen? Jesus provides our forgiveness by the cross. And the Bible says that he has conquered the evil one. He has made a public spectacle of every power and principality through the cross and through his resurrection. So Jesus is going to, God is going to fulfill all of the words of Jesus' prayer, but he tells his disciples to pray for it to happen. See, in one sense, we're thinking, well, God is going to do this stuff. Why do we have to pray for it? But I'm showing you that it doesn't matter. See, we pray God's will in. Somehow God is saying, I want to include you in this process. You're not devoid of this. I'm not going to do it without you. And that's hard for us. Now, it's not like, is God's will going to happen? Yes, God's will is coming. God's will be done. But then he says, pray, church, that God's will be done. I'm going to show you another amazing little prayer here. In 1 John 5, 14 to 15, this is what it says. This is the confidence that we have in approaching God. That, what? Read it with me. That if we ask anything according to his will, you don't get to have a Ferrari because you want to. You don't get to pray for a big house or even millions of dollars because that's what you want. You get to pray, though, according to his will. And that's what Jesus meant in that prayer, too. Your kingdom come. Well, our first and foremost prayer ought to be, God, your kingdom come to Campbell River. Your kingdom come to this church. Your kingdom come into my life. Your will be done in my life and in this church and in this city and in our country, Lord. Let your kingdom come. So we pray according to his will. And then it says, if you pray that way, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have that which we ask for, or what we ask of him. That's a promise in there. See, we know God's kingdom is coming. It's an unstoppable force. Amen? And yet he tells us, pray for my kingdom. And then we'll know that we're going to get what we ask for because God has already said he's going to do it. I'm going to do this thing. Pray for me to do it. But the prayer part is critical, church. The prayer part of that is absolutely critical. We're supposed to pray for the things God tells us he will do. So when you read in Scripture and it talks about God's kingdom filling the whole world, we know that's what his will is, and God wants us to pray that it's going to happen. You know, it's God's will, for instance, that sin would have no hold over you in your life, but God wants you to pray for it. Remember when Jesus told his disciples to pray to the Lord of the harvest to send workers into the harvest field? Do you remember that in Scripture? And then, this always blows me away, he immediately sent them into the harvest field. In the very next verse, he empowers them and sends them out. Now, who's the Lord of the harvest? Jesus is the Lord of the harvest. And Jesus says, I want you to pray that the Lord of the harvest will send workers into the harvest field. So just imagine it. They pray it. Lord, send workers into the harvest field. Okay, come over here now. I'm sending you into the harvest field. Somehow prayer is always connected. Nothing happens, church, without prayer. And why? Why would he do that? Because Jesus is teaching his disciples, and he's teaching all of us, first, that God is our source. Nothing happens unless God does it. Therefore, we ask God to do it. We always ask for God to do it because it is God that's going to bring the fruit. It's God that causes the growth. Remember those scriptures We can sow the seed, we can water it, but it's God that makes it grow. And it's the growth and the fruit that we really want to see happen. It's God who produces fruit that will last in people's lives. You cannot lead anyone to Jesus unless the Bible says the Holy Spirit draws that person first. It's God who's working on them already, but still you pray for that person. And then you also have to go to that person at some point and share the gospel with them. But it's God ultimately that does it. So it won't happen, church, unless we pray. And we have a praying church. God is saying, I'm not going to do it all by myself. I want to involve you. You are meant to join me and to do ministry with me. And so we can look at what Paul says here in Ephesians again, 6:19-20. He says this, read it with me. Pray for me. I didn't hear you. Pray for me that whenever I open my mouth, words may be given me so that I will fearlessly make known the mystery of the gospel for which I am an ambassador in chains. Pray that I may declare it fearlessly as I should. I love this verse. I love it because what Paul's saying is, first off, it's not my words that are going to do it. I need you to give me the words, God. Will you give me the words that are going to change this person's life? Will you give me the words, Lord, that will make known the mystery of the gospel? And then he says, in a sense, this is the way I read it, I'm kind of afraid to do it. How many of you can relate to Paul? I'm kind of afraid, God. So will you help me, God, to declare it fearlessly as I should? Prayer. He's saying to the people in Ephesus, you need to pray for me because if you don't pray for me, then I might be full of fear. Then I might actually not get the right words. But I need you to pray. Would you pray for me so that it happens? And again, he's praying the will of God. What's the will of God? That his kingdom would come, that the mystery of the gospel would be known. Amen? And that he would declare it fearlessly. The source of God, of the words, is not his own, but is given to him by Christ. The source of the fearlessness is not his own courage mustered up, but it comes from Christ through the Spirit in answer to prayer. Let's look at Colossians 4:2-6. He says it this way, devote yourselves, okay, I can't hear you guys again, devote yourselves to prayer, being watchful and thankful, and pray for us too, that God may open a door for our message, so that we may proclaim the mystery of Christ, for which I am in chains. Pray that I may proclaim it clearly as I should. Be wise in the way you act toward outsiders. Make the most of every opportunity. Let your conversation be always full of grace, seasoned with salt, so that you may know how to answer anyone. Devote yourselves to prayer. Devote yourselves to prayer. That's how any of the other stuff is going to come. That's the first thing he says. And it's being watchful and thankful. You notice he doesn't leave the thankfulness out. He's talking about his mission. He's talking about the gospel growing. He's talking about fruit in these people's lives. He's talking about the kingdom coming. But what he's saying is, be thankful. Remember Terry's word a few weeks ago where he said, some of you are grumbling and God wants you to stop grumbling because it's your grumbling that's stopping him, in a sense, from actually answering the desires of your heart. I just think sometimes we don't see the good all around. God is wanting us to see different. To not always look at the negative, to not always be complaining, but to be somehow seeing how he's working every day in our life and to thank him first. Thank him first. And then go and start asking him for the things that you need. But devote yourself in prayer. Because who opens the door for the message? Pray for us too, that God may open a door. Who opens the door? God opens the door. When does God open the door? When we ask, when we pray. And look again at Paul's request. Pray that I may proclaim the gospel clearly as I should. He knows he should. He knows what he's supposed to do. But the source of the clarity is not his own wisdom. It's not his own ability to speak or even his preaching gift. It comes from Christ through the Spirit in answer to prayer. Paul understands that. And so he's saying, church, pray for me. Pray for me. So if we think about our own church, if we think right now about this preferred future that we're laying out for you in the next few weeks, if we believe that in a sense this is about God's will for us, it's about God's vision for us, it's about God's desire for our church, then our response has to be to pray for these things to happen. We are called to pray this vision into the church. Do you get it? And it's not just the leadership that does it. It's all of you. It's the whole community that Paul talked to. He said, all of you in the church in Ephesus, all of you in Thessalonica, all of you in Colossae, all of you in all the churches, pray for this to happen. And so my heart is that when we go through this series and we're talking about prayer and we're talking about outreach and we're talking about worship and we're going to talk about other things along the way about what God is saying for us, it's critical that we pray for it. You can agree with it and you can say, oh, good, wouldn't that be nice if it happens? I hope the leadership can get their act together and make it happen. That's the wrong idea. Okay? It means pray for it, because your prayer actually causes God to intervene and to act and to make it come. And so we need to be this praying church that we're talking about. We need to actually be this people. So for instance, we believe we want prayer to be covering every aspect of our church. And one of the things I'll say is we need to be specific in prayer too. It's hard because there's so many different kinds of prayer, and I don't want to diminish any one of them. They all have their place and their purpose. Sometimes we can get into the circle and we pray for specific things that we have on our list. Sometimes though, when we're going against that, we stop that and we go over here and we pray for, and we just wait and we're listening for what God wants to tell us for the day. And that's very important. It's good to pray and be just like there's crafted prayer we do on Fridays where all they do is they just silent. And that's excellent, because then you let God speak to you and you get words and then you come back together and then they're able to see what God is saying for the day to each person and how it all fits together. And that's amazing. But then sometimes when I'm sitting with that, I'm also sometimes thinking there's things we already know. You guys understand what I'm saying? There's things we already know that we have to pray for. And one of the things I want us to know that we have to pray for is this vision for our church. We don't have to ask God again for a new vision every time we get together to pray. What we need to do is start praying in the vision that He's given us so that it'll come to pass. And we need to get on our knees and we don't have to think too much about it. We can just say, Lord, here's what You've told us You want to do with us. Now we pray Your kingdom come. Your will be done in this church, God. Bring it, Lord. We want it. We desire it. Help us to become exactly who you call us to be. So we pray specifically for those things. We pray for what we believe God wants us to become. And we pray and have prayer covering every event we plan, every outreach we attempt, every service that we do, every community group that we minister in, and our youth group. Our youth group is smaller right now. Is that the right way to say it? We need an infusion of kids that want to come, and we need strategies that will help us to get more and more kids in there. We need you to pray for the youth group. How many of you pray for the youth group? 1, 2, 3. Okay, we can do better than that, right? So let's pray for our youth group. Let's pray that God's will would be done with our youth in this church. The 55 plus ministry, all of us praying together for all of those ministries. We need that to start happening. Amen? Now, in order for this to happen, though, one of the things that we need is we need a shift in most of our lives. Our priorities need to be realigned. God will not give us more time in the day so that we can pray more. We need to believe that prayer is the most wonderful, powerful, enjoyable, and productive thing that I can do in my day. How many of you believe that? Not enough of you. Prayer, in its simplest form, is simply spending time with God, building relationship with God, and that is the greatest thing that you can ever do. But prayer, when we become attuned to all its depth, becomes the conduit, church, that empowers all of our ministry. It includes healing. It includes the prophetic prayer. It includes visions and dreams, words of wisdom and knowledge, discernment of spirits, deliverance ministry, the power to tear down strongholds and to cast out the demonic. It all comes to you through relationship with God that is built up by prayer. I'm going to end with this verse, and then we're going to invite the worship team to come up, and I want us to pray. But look at what James 5 says. Look at this together with me. Is any one of you in trouble? He should what? Pray. Is anyone happy? Let him sing songs of praise, which is basically a happy prayer. That's what praise is. Is any one of you sick? He should call the elders of the church to what? Pray over him and anoint him with oil in the name of the Lord. And the prayer offered in faith will make the sick person well, and the Lord will raise him up. If you've sinned, what should you do? You should come, confess your sins, and then you will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to each other, to one another, and pray for each other. Pray for each other that you may be healed. Because the prayer of a righteous man is powerful and effective. Let's all pray then. Let's believe this word and pray together as a church. And the worship team, if they can come up. But let's stand up for a moment. The first thing I want us to pray for is that we would become this kind of praying church. I'm here this morning partially because so many people, I believe it, were praying that I would be able to come last night. I didn't think I could come. I was pondering who I could call at the last minute to cover for me. And in the morning, I felt just enough strength to come.
I feel like God is saying to the congregation, to everybody, is behold, I'm sending on many of you my spirit of prayer. And when my Holy Spirit in you takes hold of you to pray for a thing, I will incite in you a fire and a passion that won't let go of you until you see it through. Because in this hour, there needs to be an intensity of prayer and breakthrough like we have not seen before. And so I will be sending on you. Many of you will experience this for the first time. And he's wanting to say, you'll know, but I think he's wanting to say to you, this is me, and this is my design for the church and for the hour, that I will send my Spirit intensely into your life at various seasons of prayer.
And we just want to receive that right now, too. I think that's right, because I also think about our series before when we talked about revival and prayer being this conduit again, where they got together and they prayed, and there became almost like this, you know, deep, deep intercessory prayer of weeping and pleading almost with God. But it's not a pleading that's like, you know, oh, we're worms. But it's him pleading. Yeah, it's this, it's wanting the kingdom so bad, so badly, that it just brings you to that place of tears. Father, we pray right now. I pray for this church. I pray this morning that we would become a praying church, that we would become the church that Lord, you've spoken to us about. Lord, you want us to be a church that's empowered because we're so in tune with your will, because we talk to you all the time. And people are talking all the time, and people are asking all the time, Lord, for you to do your will and your work in our midst. God, I pray right now for what Terry said, a spirit, of prayer, but it's just this unction to pray. I pray that, Father, you would just begin to pour it out in our body, and that we would become people who, like Jesus, would constantly go off to be with the Father and pray. I pray, Father, that you would descend this desire, this deep, almost like a gift of prayer in our midst. Let it come, Lord. Let it come. Holy Spirit. We pray for our church. We lift it up to you, Lord. May we become a genuinely praying church. How many of you agree with that? Let's agree together. Say amen. 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 Okay.